So continuing with our critique of the justice system, we're reminded that President Obama consults today with Senate leaders on his pick to replace Supreme Court Justice David Souter. Still speculation and hope about who he might choose. Female, black, Latino, what's the opportunity here? Joining us is Judge Judith Kaye, counsel with Skadden Litigation Group. Judge Kaye was the chief judge of the New York Court of Appeals for 15 years until her retirement in 2008. She served longer than any judge in New York's history and is in our studio. Good morning, Judge. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
What do you think the opportunity is? We were talking with Paul Butler about the need for change in the criminal justice system. What is the chance that the president would appoint someone who would be a change agent on the court? We've heard a lot about how since Souter was liberal, he'll be replaced by a liberal, so the net effect will be nil. Is there a chance to do a change agent in this appointment, and who might such a person be?
Well, I love your word opportunity, and I seize that word. I'm a great optimist. Yes, I believe. I believe in the president. And I believe he will make an absolutely superb choice. This is an important vacancy. Of course, every vacancy on the United States Supreme Court is an important one, but I think at this juncture especially that this is an opportunity that needs to be seized. And I'm hoping that, for starters, it's going to be a woman.
Hmm. Well, we'll talk about the gender issue in a moment. The Berger Court was noted for innovating the Supreme Court system itself, changing the way the docket was organized, that sort of thing. It was a real opportunity for Warren Berger to change the way the court operated. You, similarly, were known as an innovator in the New York court system, changing the way the appeals process worked and making the judicial workload more rational. What do you think needs to be done to make the Supreme Court less of, as David Souter has noted, an intellectual lobotomy?
Well, one thing, I remember when the Chief Justice came into office, that he expressed the hope, the belief that there would be greater collegiality and unanimity coming together instead of these kind of terrible splits with a lot of harsh language that doesn't do anybody any good. And I'm sure it's disappointing to him, as it is to so many of us, to see these 5-4 splits continuing. So my hope would be that the next appointee, I know the president has used the word empathetic, and what I take that to mean is not dogmatic. And I would hope that the person who next reaches the Supreme Court will be someone who can cross the divide and help to bring the court together instead of the continued bruising splits.
What nominee, who, if she would be a woman, would surprise you, would excite you? Yeah, what nominee, a woman nominee, would excite you?
Well, the one I know best, and of course, you know, we don't know the list, the real
sure.
list. You know, we see people suggested, but only the president and his advisors know who the real list is. The one person I know well because of her geographical proximity and long friendship is Judge Sotomayor of the Second Circuit. I say we've had we know each other for a long time as colleagues in the court system, and you know, I think she's pretty sensational.
Let me ask you about what, besides taking a look at gender, matters to you. Some people, you know, argue that President Obama wants someone who will consider the law on a case-by-case basis as opposed to someone who can pass ideological litmus tests. Is there anything that you personally think is an absolute litmus test, whether it is abortion, whether it is civil liberty, freedom of speech? Give us an example of something you think is non-negotiable.
Well, of course, extraordinary quality, high quality, beyond scholarliness, devotion to the law, dedication to the law. I love the word empathy, considering the issues that reach the Supreme Court of the United States. Someone who knows and feels and understands. Yes, I agree with the president.
And you yourself have, you've done things like making a decision on adoption rights for gay couples. You've looked at the death penalty. You yourself seem like you have a lot of empathy.
Well, I hope that's true since I've listed that as a high quality. But I say expect somebody first and foremost who's going to adhere to the law, not somebody who invents it every day of the week, but reads the law and approaches the law with an understanding of the human condition.
A Supreme Court justice need not even be a lawyer. It's sort of unique in that sense. It was expressed on this program last week that it might be a good idea to name somebody to the court who actually has an existential closeness to the empathy that you're talking about, as opposed to a legal basis, like someone who has political experience, maybe someone who has worked in social services. Do you see something like that as being possible?
I guess it's possible. I don't know who all the candidates are under consideration, and the ones I've seen generally are lawyers, and I guess we think along those lines, you know, that people have gone to law school. You know, just because you're a lawyer doesn't mean that you're narrow and haven't had the kind of worldly experience and social services experience that makes an excellent Supreme Court justice. So I guess not knowing the list, I wouldn't be prepared to rule anyone out. My long experience just guides me back into the law-trained community, but I certainly, narrowness is something that's just off the list completely. Ideology? No, that's not what we need on the Supreme Court.
Quickly, in your own experience, is being a judge, being a prosecutor, or being a litigator, which is the most narrow of the roles?
Oh, my goodness. It's such an individual thing. Very hard to say. People so often have every kind of experience. I've been a litigator, I guess, all my life, but a prosecutor is a litigator, too, and you know, there are academics who are great Supreme Court justices. You know, I don't see any particular route, but I do see the goal, the objective. The objective can be achieved through many different routes, but the objective is what's really important.
And just remind us what the objective is.
The objective is a person of extraordinary quality, and I say I'm sorry, but I've got gender for starters, given the situation.
So it sounds like that's not negotiable. Sounds like that's not negotiable with Judge
Judy. That's a takeaway right
well,
there.
Counselor, we're gonna dismiss the witness here. Counsel with Skadden Litigation Group, previously the chief judge of the New York Court of Appeals for 15 years until her retirement in 2008, advising us on the potential nominees to replace Justice Souter. Judge Kay served longer than any judge in New York history. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.